The reading today is Psalm 51, which I'm going to read. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin are always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hear me, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem, and then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Amen. And we welcome Wendy to bring us our word today.
Many sermons could be preached on that psalm. And I'm not exactly preaching on that psalm, but it is the theme of brokenness. And I hope you will read it when you get home and you'll understand it more after we've thought of the theme. Now, I don't know about you, but many people have been enthralled by watching the BBC programmes entitled The Repair Shop. Yes? People bring their damaged treasures, objects which seem to have precious memories for them, hoping they might be able to be restored. Porcelain's there in bits and pieces. Mechanical items are not functioning. Pictures are cracked and faded. Expert craftspeople carefully look them over. And then they decide to accept the challenge to begin the repair. And painstakingly, after hours, sometimes after days, they make these articles as near to what they were once. And sometimes this results in them being in a more pristine state than their owners had ever seen them. And when they come back again to view the finished works, many of them have been reduced to tears in wonder and gratitude. They never dreamt such a restoration could be possible. We've all experienced brokenness in some form or other in our lives. Day by day. Sure, we're going to have dropped items of crockery and gazed at the many pieces that are lying on the floor. Many of us have sustained broken bones. We've experienced broken relationships, broken promises, and so the list could go on. Brokenness runs through life. It can't be avoided. We're exposed to it physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. For none of us would have been drawn to the Christian faith or come into a relationship with Christ were this not so. There's only one place where faith can begin. It's through our brokenness at the cross of Christ. Our brokenness at the cross of Christ. And this was God's plan right from the very beginning of time. God, in his abounding love, eventually sent his son Jesus, who was without sin, to be broken for us at Calvary, so that we, broken by our sins and humbled in his presence, might be made new. With that one burning desire to live for him. Confessing him then as our Saviour, he comes to be with us, to live in us forever. Peter described it in this way in his first letter, chapter 1 and verse 23, and I'm quoting from the Amplified Version. You have been regenerated, born again, not from mortal origin, seed sperm, but from one that is immortal, by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. Born again, God's purpose. Having read these words and begin to soak in the truth, the words of Wren Collective came into the forefront of my thinking. You know them as well. I am broken at your feet like an alabaster jar. Every piece of who I am laid before your majesty. Oh, the gravity of you draws my soul unto its knees. I will never be the same. I am lost and found in you. It's only as we confess our brokenness that God is able to bring new purpose, joy, and satisfaction into our lives. And this is exactly what the woman with the alabaster jar learnt when she took that unprecedented step, that painful step of walking into the house of Simon the leper. We learn from her how breaking led her to receive God's grace. Let me set the scene. It was 2 days before Passover, in the last week of Jesus, before his death by crucifixion. He was staying at Bethany with his disciples, some 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And he'd accepted that invitation to dine with Simon the Pharisee. The woman who suddenly entered immediately went up to Jesus and broke the jar she'd been carrying. Her action had symbolic meaning. Luke informs us that she was an especially wicked sinner, and obviously known by this to all the people there. Was this the reason for her being able to buy the costly perfume and its container? See, it was normal for clay jars to be used for storage, but this one was alabaster. Surely, too, however she'd acquired it, it was her most valued possession. Therefore, in choosing to break it, this was her act of repentance. She was breaking her heart at the same time whilst focusing solely on Jesus. She was breaking the pattern of her life, her sinful way of existing, her wrong values, her insecurity. She was yielding her whole person, her whole life to him in love and obedience. The disciples who were witnessing it began to judge her. And they so wanted Jesus to rebuke her and send her packing. But he'd no need to. He had seen the love in her heart. He knew that her earnest desire was to live a new life, one which would be honoring to God. And it was the psalmist's desire too, when he prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." Jesus had no need ever to speak to her words of forgiveness, because she'd already experienced it by coming to him in her brokenness, in laying her whole life before him. That day, that moment, he accepted her into his kingdom. Jesus also saw the breaking of a precious jar to mean something more, for it symbolized for him the imminent anointing of his body for burial. He knew he was soon to be broken on the cross, as he willingly suffered in our place, by bearing all our sin and shame, that we in our brokenness might surrender self to him and allow him to take control in our lives. He's no longer on the cross. For God, his Father, raised him from the dead that he might live as our triumphant Saviour, our victorious Lord, with the beauty of his presence being seen in each one of us. This leads me to a question. Can you affirm this is so? Are we allowing God to mould us into the likeness of Christ? Let's never forget that we're Christ's disciples, his followers, who must be willing to be disciplined by him. And how we need to come before him frequently to deny self. For we fail so many times to exalt him. We want to be kingpin. Listen to that command of Jesus then that I read from Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And again, I'm doing so from the Amplified Version. "And he said to all, 'If any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Come firm wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. As we follow Christ, we need to be dying to self daily. By asking God to help us with the help of the Holy Spirit, to acknowledge our many shortcomings, to let the Holy Spirit convict us and break our pride, our stubbornness, our selfishness, our fears and doubts, any unforgiving spirit, any ungodly behavior or attitude. It's so necessary for us if we're to grow spiritually as God's plan is for us. Paul reminds us in Romans 8:21, God knew what he was doing from the beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. Let's not neglect to go to God's repair shop on a daily basis, several times if need be. For we each need to be cleansed by him, strengthened by him, restored by him, so that we can shine for him. God isn't a secret to be kept. Revival begins with us. Our lives are constantly sending out a message to the people who are around us. Yes, we witness for Christ with words, but more importantly, that witness is seen through our daily living, through a life which is a reflection of Christ. The world judges Christ through his followers. Paul explained how when he wrote to the Christians in Philippi, chapter 1 and verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will not be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. Christ will be exalted in my body, in your body, in the bodies of all who claim to belong to him. I ask you now to reflect about this as I share a song that you probably know again, which was written by Albert Osborne, who died in 1967. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. And at a prayer meeting I used to attend, we sang a second verse, which as far as I know is anonymous. Let the fruit of the Spirit be seen in me. Grant me grace all sufficient, that I may be true and faithful each day, every step of the way, pointing souls to the Saviour on Calvary.
Thank you, Wendy. And it gave me a lot to think about, which I will be reflecting over the next few days. But two reflections that immediately come to mind. Dame Cicely Saunders, founder of the hospice movement, talked about pain in this world being four things that are broken. Broken bodies, broken minds, broken relationships, broken beliefs, and that all pain is a single or contributor factor. We are not, and we know, that as Christians, we're not immune to pain in this world. Christ knew, and in Lent, we relive with him what he was about to face. But through pain of crucifixion comes the power to redeem and resurrect. And when we talk about brokenness, there is a seed in each one of us, a seed to make a big difference in this world for God's glory. And the only way a seed grows is if the shell of that seed breaks. When you plant it, it's broken, and that's when we grow. And when we talk about brokenness, it's a positive thing. And with those thoughts, I invite us to stand and sing.